My youngest son, Ethan, who's three, went out for a special coffee with his mum this week. And they were out. She had her coffee. He had a Bambino Chino. Do you know what a Bambino Chino is? It's basically frothy milk with chocolate on the top. So he felt really big to have a Bambino Chino. They sat down together, Caroline with her coffee, him with his Bambino Chino. He took a big slug of it, milk all around his chops, and he gave a big sigh. He said, "Lovely coffee, Mum. Lovely company. Lovely coffee, lovely company." Well, that's how we feel this morning. Lovely coffee. I hope you've enjoyed our coffee, but more than that, lovely company. Thank you so much for being here with us. We feel like it's a real privilege. And many of our friends who you're visiting this morning, you've helped us on this journey to get to this amazing moment. And we just want to thank you for your help. Many of you perhaps aren't even Christians. Perhaps you don't even know what you think about God, whether you believe in God or not. But you've helped us. And over these last few months or years, you've met this crazy bunch of people from the King's Arms. And you've joined with them on this journey to create this this place. And you've got some questions, though, if you're honest. You're wondering, where are all the matching sandals kept? Where do you keep those sandals? Why are there no "honk if you love Jesus" bumper stickers in the car park? Where are those? Where are all the limp handshakes? I haven't had one. And most importantly, where is the organ? Where is the organ? In fact, we do need to get an inflatable organ, just for special occasions, if anyone can help with that. You've been surprised, if you're honest, and some of you, if you're really honest, you've actually got to like us on the journey. I don't want to push it too far, but you've actually got to like us on the journey. And then you come here this morning and you see people dance and shout and celebrate in worship, and perhaps you're wondering why. What is all this about? Who are these people, and what is this place that we have created? Perhaps it's blown your fuse a little bit as to what you thought church should be like and what you thought Christians ought to be like or were like. And so I wanted to just take a few minutes to explain who we are, why we've built this place. As Royden mentioned, we've raised 1.4 million so far as a community to this venture. And we've done it largely through selling all of our matching Rolex watches and Mercedes. We all used to drive Mercedes. And now only a few... No, that's not true. I don't actually know where the money has come from, apart from the grace of God and a hugely committed bunch of people who have been on this journey together. And so as I was thinking about this question of what's it for, there are four things that struck me as to this place. The first thing we feel like this place will be for is that it will be a place for connection. A place for connection. I heard the story of two hikers who were out in the woods and they were hiking, and one of them got bitten on the backside by a rattlesnake. And so his friend said, "I'll go and get a doctor." And so he ran to the nearest town, which was 10 miles away. He got there. The doctor is their only doctor in the town. Is delivering a baby for a lady. And he's like, "I can't leave her here." He said, "You'll have to go back." He said, "It's okay. All you need to do is cut a cross on his bum where the bite is and suck the poison out and then just spit it on the floor." So the guy runs back. True story. The guy runs back. He runs back. He gets back there, out of breath. His friend, who's in agony on the floor, says, what's the doctor say?" And his friend says, "You're going to die, mate." You see, in a world where largely everyone is out for themselves, Jesus stepped in and gave himself. And so we feel like this place will be a place of connection where people can come here and connect with one another, can give themselves to one another in the model of Christ, where new parents can get help and support, where we have live music events where people can just come and hang out and connect one with another, where we can create a relaxed atmosphere, a space, if you like, for this connection. One of the reasons we called it the King's House and not the King's Arms Church is to break down some of the stereotypes, some of the barriers that people have about coming into a church. We want our community to feel at home in this place because we want it to be a place of connection. So whether it's businesses renting conference rooms or teenagers hanging out, our vision for King's House is that it will be this place of connection and real community. Real community. You see, we live in a world now which is increasingly a virtual community. It lives by virtual community. Our world has changed even dramatically in the last 10 years. Some of you young guys, I know you were born with a mobile phone in your hand texting, but even in the last 10 years, that has changed dramatically. I remember it wasn't that long ago where I was standing on a train and I was looking at someone with their phone thinking, what are they doing? And as I looked closer, I asked someone later and I realized they were texting. I'd never seen it before. And I thought, it's true. And I thought to myself, I can do email, I can text, there's no problem. But you remember those early phones? I couldn't. And people would text me, hey Simon, how are you doing? Do you want to come out for a video? And it took me 10 minutes to respond, yes. And then even worse was predictive texting, because it would take me 10 minutes and I would try to write yes and it would say snail. I don't want to say snail. And then, you've all been there, haven't you? And then I realized that my phone had templates. And so I had five options. Yes, no, okay, congratulations and happy birthday. And so someone would text me and say, Simon, I'm having a really rough time, can we meet up? And yes, no, and okay seemed a bit blunt. So I was left with congratulations or happy birthday. So I'd usually pick congratulations and that seemed to cheer them up. You see, actually, even amongst this massive amount of virtual community that we have around us, people are beginning to realize that although we have a breadth of community, there's actually very little depth. I read a report this week that was saying there's a concern now amongst many that we are becoming pancake people. Pancake people. That we are wide and broad in the number of relationships and yet incredibly shallow. That all the context that we have to communicate actually aren't creating meaningful connections. That people are lonelier than they've ever been before. That they have many multiple online friends, but no real true friends. And we believe that our God is a God of connection, and so we want to create a place of connection. Many of us can tell each other what our friends had for lunch, but we don't really know how they're doing. We don't really know what's going on in their hearts. And so, if you even just think about the ward where this is, Caldwell Ward, this building, there's massive amounts of high levels of crime, high levels of social breakdown, and they're symptoms in part from this lack of connection that we don't need statistics to tell us. It's happening all around us. It is endemic in our society. And so what we want to create here is this place of genuine connection, where a building isn't a solution, but it can provide a space, if you like. A space and a place where people can meet and can create genuine relationships. Where there can be times where they can relax and really meet real people and grow in depth of friendship and relationship. That's our dream for this place. That's why we've created it. The second vision we have for this place is that it will be a place of healing. A place of healing. You know, dads can have really strange relationships with their sons. I heard a story of a guy called John who was having real difficulty. He was moaning to his friend. He said, I can't find a wife. He said, because my mother hates every girl that I bring home. And his friend said, oh, it's easy. Just find a girl who's just like your mother. So a few months later, they met again, and John still looked depressed. And he said, well, didn't you find a girl who's just like your mother? He said, yes. He said, and didn't your mother love her? She said, I took her home and my mother loved her. He said, well, why are you still depressed? What's the problem? He said, my dad couldn't stand her. It's a humorous story, but actually behind it is a world of pain. It is a world of pain behind that story. Relational breakdown is epidemic in our society. It is epidemic. It is at an epidemic level. Husbands and wives, parents and children, the pain is everywhere, and it is literally just beneath the surface. One of the worst cases of hatred I ever came across was found in a will which was written in 1935 by Mr. Donohoe. This really is true. It didn't come off the internet. And the will was this: unto my two daughters, Frances Marie and Denise Victoria, by reason of their bad attitude toward a doting father, I leave the sum of $1 to each and a father's curse. May their lives be fraught with misery and unhappiness and poignant sorrow. May their deaths be soon and of a lingering, malignant and torturous nature. That is what you call a doting father right there. That's a true will. And you think it's extreme, but actually it's not that extreme. People might not quite put it in a will, but so often there's this tragic relational breakdown between people in our society. And we as a community want this place to be a place of healing for relationships. We've already run marriage courses here, and even in the first few weeks when the building wasn't even really ready, we've already run a conference where people got to understand and discover what it meant to know a father. And in this place, people will be counseled and loved and prayed for and brought through on this journey. They'll be taught how to parent. They'll be taught how to be married and to stay married in this place. They'll be taught how to have sex in this place. We did a series, actually, a few years ago on sex and a biblical understanding of sex, because God created sex. It was his idea. He didn't create Adam and Eve and then walk away, have a coffee, and come back and say, "Oh, what are you doing? That's disgusting." He created it. He created it, and yet there is so much misunderstanding about what God intended in the whole, and so much pain around that whole area of sexual relationships. And so we did a series looking at that to try and bring healing to people. And you know what? Our claim to fame is this: for a short season, if you typed into Google sex in Bedford, you got to our church website as number one. I am proud of that. Some of you are thinking, what have I come to? And now you're thinking, really, what have I come to? But actually, these have been areas that haven't been addressed for so long, and the pain that goes with a misunderstanding of some of these things. And we feel as a community that this will be a place of healing, where great healing can come to people in their relationships. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of a man called Van der Broek. Van der Broek was a former police officer who was found guilty of burning a woman's husband and son to death in front of her. He burned them to death in front of her during the worst years of apartheid in South Africa. And in the court case, of course, afterwards, with the Truth and Reconciliation officials, when they brought this stuff to justice, the judge asked the woman whose husband and son had been murdered in this way what she wanted. How would justice be served? And the woman replied, "I want three things. Firstly, I want to be taken to the place where my husband was burned so that I can gather his ashes and give him a proper burial. Secondly, as I've now no longer got a son, I want Mr. Van der Broek to become my son. I want him to come and visit me twice a month so that I may pour out on him whatever love I have left in me. And thirdly, will someone kindly lead me across the courtroom so that I can hug Mr. Van der Broek and let him know that he is truly forgiven by me." As she was led across the courtroom, Van der Broek literally collapsed and fainted onto the floor with a shock of what he had just witnessed. And people around in the courtroom, visitors and friends, began to sing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," the song we sung today. You see, so many give up on relationships when they can be saved. When they can be saved and they can be healed. And we pray that this place will be a place where many relationships are healed. Husbands to wives, sons and daughters to fathers and mothers, even to grandparents. We had a conference recently and I was chatting to one guy at the end. And I said, "What do you need to do now?" And he said, "I know I need to go back and be reconciled to my mother. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do." And he left this place and he emailed me a few weeks later to say, "I just had the most amazing time of reconciliation with my parents." as he found hope in this place, that his relationships could be reconciled and could be restored. But it's just not about relationships. It's also about the healing of bodies. As we saw today from Mark, we believe in a God who loves to heal, and he does it all the time amongst us. We love what the doctors do. We celebrate what we do. But they and we know that sometimes there's a limit to what they can do. We have numbers of doctors who are in our community who are frustrated with the limits that they struggle with, so many that they can't heal. But we know a God who loves to step in at that point and bring healing and restoration. Even to those who aren't expecting it. I was speaking at a church recently. There was a guy sitting at the back, and as I was speaking, I looked at his face and I thought, man, you look cynical. And not you guys, you look great. But I thought, you look cynical. And he did. As I was telling stories of God healing people. Anyway, at the end, someone said that they felt God was going to heal someone who had an Achilles injury. Well, this guy did have an Achilles injury. In fact, his Achilles tendon had been severed. And when the surgeons had stitched it back together, they'd done it too short. And so he could walk but not run, and had been that way. He used to play football. He was big into football. Hadn't been able to play for a number of years. And so he responded. He stood up. The team gathered around him, prayed for him, and the guy was completely healed. He was running around at the back. A genuine miracle. And as at the end he came up to testify, to share what God had done in his life, he started with, I was very cynical when I came into this room. I thought to myself, I know, I saw you. I had to speak to that. And he said, I was very cynical, but God has done something amazing for me now. And we had a message from him just a few weeks ago saying he's now playing football every week and God's totally changed his life. You see, we want this place to be a place of healing. Healing of relationships, healing of hearts, healing of even bodies. And thirdly, we want this place to be a place of development. One of the big needs in this ward, Cordwell Ward, is training. Unemployment here is the second highest in the borough. And in parts of the world, parts of this ward, they are the most deprived. They're in the top 10% most deprived wards in the entire of the UK, entire of England. And so this is a needy area, and we feel like God has put us right in this place, in this ward, to bring development. A third of the children in this area come from income-deprived homes. And so we want to help change that through development, not just for this ward, but for our region as a whole. We want to play our part. I don't know if you remember the cartoon Snoopy, but in one cartoon, Linus is sitting there watching TV, and Lucy comes in and she demands that he change channels. And Linus says, what makes you think you've got a right to walk right in here and start pushing me around? And she said, these five fingers, take a look at them. Individually, they are nothing, but when I curl them, they become a unit that is powerful and effective. And Linus turns away, looks at his own fingers and says, why can't you guys get organized like that? You see, actually the difference between one person and another is so often the training they've received, the investment that they've received from others, the love, the affirmation, the connection that they've had with others, but also the development that they've had, the input, the confidence they've gained through that. And so we want this place to be a place of development where people can come in and be developed and also develop themselves. We've already got a thriving youth group. We've just received an nearly £8,000 grant to develop that, to make it open increasingly to the community around as well. We've got over 100 children who are part of us, and our aim is to invest in them and to train and develop them, and many other children that we will now become connected with through this place. So whether it's back to work skills or helping small businesses set up or whatever it will be, whether it's music lessons or dance classes, whether it's for adults or teenagers or children, our aim is that this is a place of development where people's lives get changed because they grow here. They become aware of what their gifts are, of what contribution they've got to play in the world. In future, we're hoping that our sports hall will come online, and that'll add a whole nother string to our bow in how we can help facilitate and develop people. And the last thing, just to close, is that this place will be a place of encounter. That we'll provide here a place of encounter. Some cynical people might say, well, this whole lot is just a cover to propagate your religion. That's all this is. It's just a cover to propagate your religion. An honest answer is simply this. Understanding who Jesus is and what he has done has changed our lives. Coming into relationship with him has transformed us. That I'm unashamed in saying that. He has transformed our lives. But will we shove it down people's throats? No. Will we insist that people believe? No. Because Jesus was not like that. He came to give. He came to offer. He came to lead people and ask them to join him, but he didn't force them. Our God is not a God of control and force or manipulation. He's a God of options. He gives us the options of how we want to spend our lives. We can choose relationship with him or not. It's up to us. That's our decision. It can't be forced. You know, I love him with all my heart, but not because he forces me to. Because he's changed my life and saved me. In fact, that word grace that we sang about is the word undeserved favor. And it's when I understood that his grace for me, his undeserved favor for me, I couldn't earn his love, but he had given it to me freely. That's the point that my life began to change. His grace for us, not because he's forced us. And so as long as people are sensitive to our values as they come into this place, we want this to be open to anyone to use this facility, no matter what their beliefs in God or their understanding or wherever they are on that journey. But we also want it to be a place where people can, if they so choose, encounter the God that we have encountered and come to know him. So there are some of these things, the four things that I'm hoping that this place will be, that we are hoping that this building will achieve. Those are some of our dreams. And I just want to finish by asking all of us, are you giving your life to the right thing? Are you giving yourself to the right thing in your life? I read this. Someone wrote, when I was a teenager, I thought love would solve everything. In my early 20s, I thought sex would solve everything. By my late 20s, I thought a career would solve everything. At age 30, I thought marriage would solve everything, and then when it didn't, I was sure that motherhood would solve everything. By my late 30s, following a brief period of certainty that therapy would solve everything, I became convinced that divorce would solve everything. At 40, I saw how absurd this all was and decided to renovate my house. You see, so many spend their whole lives and they actually miss the point of life. We're called to relationship and we're called to know this God. We're called to walk with him. And Jesus said the only way to that relationship was through relationship with him. How can a holy and perfect God connect with a sinful humanity? How can he do it? Who pays the price for the wrongs that we have done? Where is the justice? Well, the justice is found on the cross. Christ paid the price for you and I that we might know this amazing Father that we've sung about and heard about today. He paid the price for it. You know, filmmaker Walt Disney was ruthless in cutting out anything that he thought missed the point or got in the way of the flow of a story. And one of his animators tells the story of when he was working on Snow White, he spent 240 days working on a 4.5 minute section. It was a section where the dwarfs cooked a meal for Snow White and they almost destroyed the kitchen in the process. And at the end of his 240 days of work, he showed it to Disney. And Walt Disney took a look at it. He thought it was really funny, but he said, it's going to get in the way of the flow of this story. And so he cut the lot, and the whole thing went. And this is the point for us. When the film of our lives is shown, will it be as great as it might have been? Is our life going to be one long adventure in missing the point? Have we really grasped what we're here for? Have we really understood what God has made us for? And if nothing else, let this Sunday for you be a catalyst for each of us to think. We've heard the point of this house, this King's house, but what's the point of my life? Why am I here? What am I doing? Am I giving to myself to the things that really count and to the things that really matter? Am I getting the point or am I missing the point? And it's a question that I ask myself regularly and we should all ask ourselves. What is that point? Thank you so much for coming. and being with us. I'd love us just to stand and as we pray and commit this place to God's work in it.